Y'all know, most of you, that I was in the hospital last month. It was all very dramatic, but things certainly could have been worse. And I'm very grateful for the good care I got and for your prayers and support, and that I'm on the mend. But it's one thing to be hospitalized. It's another thing to be hospitalized, finally get back home, and find out you might be audited by the IRS. Somewhat ironically, they want more information about my medical expenses. Now, thanks to my church, I make a good living. For a pastor, for a normal person, still, I believe in paying taxes. And if I've underpaid the Internal Revenue Service, I'll gladly make up the difference. But it's now obvious to me why the feds can't go after big corporations and gazillionaires who pay no taxes. They're too busy going after pastors. And not even megachurch, private jet-owning pastors. But you know, moi, excited about becoming eligible for a senior Metro card. I'm the one they're spending time, energy, and money on. I mean, dudes. Makes me wonder, where's David when you need him? Because let me be clear, I'm no proponent of sacralized violence, but I'm not talking about taking physical arms against personal giants, but against structural and institutional giants, like a system in which the rich get richer and the poor get nothing and the middle class muddle through somehow. Some giants need taking down. That makes me further wonder, because it's Pride Month, hence my rainbow beads. But even as we celebrate the accomplishments of LGBTQ plus people and how far our nation has come in the fight for equality for all, we know that not only do we still fall short, but it seems sometimes like we're going backwards. In many places, LGBTQ plus individuals are still deprived of basic protections and fundamental rights. Violence, especially against transgender women of color, is on the rise. Young people who don't fit neatly into traditional sex or gender norms are bullied and harassed and are at disproportionate risk of self-harm and death by suicide. Homophobia still stalks the earth. Some giants need taking down. I have been a feminist pretty much all my life. We now have a woman vice president. Yay! But women, by and large, still don't get equal pay for equal work. Women's rights to control their own bodies are diminished, not expanded. Women are still held to different standards, still judged more for their looks than for their accomplishments, treated dismissively and insultingly, actively harassed and physically abused. Hello, it's 2021, people. Yet misogyny still wields its noxious power. Some giants need taken down. Racism? Now, Juneteenth has been long celebrated in Black communities as a second Independence Day, commemorating as it does that day, June 19, 1865, when Major Gordon Granger rode into Galveston, Texas, and delivered the news of freedom to 250,000 or so people still treated and living as slaves 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation supposedly went into effect. So Juneteenth is now a federal holiday, and that is great. But racism against Black, Brown, and Asian people is so entwined in every aspect of our national identity, it's going to take more than a holiday to address it. As commentator Melissa Brown puts it, when we think about our world and the many giants that stand against justice, we must remember that Goliath had brothers. If we see a giant injustice as disconnected, we miss the whole story. We cannot talk about mass incarceration without talking about for-profit prisons or the racist legacy of controlling Black bodies. If we do not remember the giant of Jim Crow, then we will not know how to recognize him when he is resurrected in prisons and policing. It's hard enough to fight Goliath when we're like David. Maybe it's even harder when we fail to see our alliance with so many Goliaths. We want to end poverty, but we love to buy cheap things which depend on cheap labor to produce. We support environmental causes, but oh, we love our disposable plastics. We hate misogyny and homophobia and racism, but it's difficult to give up our own privilege. It's all so hard. Browning again says, in some ways, the ability to see giants depends on your point of view. While all people of faith are called to be giant slayers, some fail to recognize the giants in their midst. The ways in which we experience privilege changes the air we breathe. Privilege, she says, makes us too tall, towering above others, almost as tall as a giant. For those who have privilege, it is easy to breathe, because we stand above those who are gasping for breath. Privilege causes us to make friends with giants rather than slay them. Our identities intersect with privilege and oppression in multiple ways. The more privilege we experience, the more difficult time we have identifying giants. Even so, Browning adds, learning to see giants is not impossible. To establish a just world, we need to start by breathing someone else's air. And once we've identified the giants that menace God's world, how are we to respond to that menace? You could say that Israel met Goliath with a military response, met violence with violence. I mean, it is a pretty bloody story if you read it as historical fact. But remember, when David takes on Goliath, he's still a humble shepherd boy. He's not yet a rock star. He's not yet powerful. Not yet tempted by or corrupted by power. He's just some kid with a bag of stones and a bunch of bravado and a whole lot of trust in God. We can't all be David's or the impressive giant slayer of your choice, Martin Luther King, Stacey Abrams, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but we can all take up stones against the giant injustices of this world. we can cast our votes. And if you haven't voted already, New York City primary day is this Tuesday, June 22nd. We can speak up and call out injustice for what it is. And we can also keep silent when we should, letting others speak for themselves instead of presuming to speak for them. And we can accept that oftentimes justice comes not all at once, but through one small stone at a time. I live right near the United Nations. And sometimes it feels like not a day goes by without some kind of demonstration happening in my neighborhood, either in front of the UN itself or across the street at the Isaiah Wall or at Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza or in front of one of the many missions and consulates to the UN. I'll be walking home and encounter a sidewalk full of protesters, or making dinner and hear chants rising from the streets. Sometimes I'll drop what I'm doing and rush downstairs to check it out, curious about what's got people so excited. Sometimes I learn about causes that I didn't know about. Sometimes I join in the demo. Sometimes people are out there in support of a cause I don't agree with, but it still makes me grateful to live in a city and nation where free speech is valued and encouraged, despite the actions of some. Grateful that people are passionately committed to justice, even when their ideas differ from mine. Grateful to be reminded almost daily that small stones add up, that bit by bit, swords can be beaten into plowshares, that drops of water can join in an ever-flowing stream of righteousness. And grateful that since our Savior Christ has come and is with us in the boat while the storms of life rage, we don't have to wait for another Savior to make everything right. We just have to do our part. As commentator Cheryl Lindsay reminds us, David is not perfect. His story is messy and at times deplorable, but God keeps calling. And David's testimony is that when he answers, he responds as his authentic self, servant, shepherd, worshiper, because that is who he is, and that is how he leads. How do you show up, she asks, when God calls you to lead? We may bemoan the violence of the David and Goliath story, but if we're honest, we acknowledge that when a giant is brought down, it's not pretty. It is a violent act. The ground shakes, and the lifeblood of injustice drains away when racism is dismantled, misogyny struck down, homophobia overturned. The world changes. And God calls us as we are, in all our messiness and imperfection, because the world is messy and imperfect and beloved, just as we are. And who is better equipped than our insignificant, imperfect, beloved self to cast stones, not at the suffering, at the outcast, or at the oppressed, but to cast stones at those giants of injustice, the systems and institutions that benefit the few at the expense of the many. We are equipped by God. We are as ready as we ever will be. And we don't have to do it all ourselves. Where is David when we need it? Look around, my friends. Just look around. And give thanks to God. Amen.